The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Inside the train station in the Connecticut town in which I live, there's a set of bookshelves. And on these shelves are used books, sometimes many books, sometimes only a few. And there's a sign at the top of the shelves inviting people to take any book that interests them. They're all free. Some of the books are ones that the town library wants to deaccession, and some are ones placed there by residents who just want to dispose of them. Now, I confess that I'm a hoarder of books. I think I'm not alone in that. Whenever I go to that train station, I make a beeline for the bookshelves and start looking through the books to see if there's anything I want. Recently, there were some books on the shelves that caught my eye. There was How to Become an Ice Sculptor and The Origins of Satanism. Now, these really weren't the ones that interested me. But sandwiched between those alluring books was a modest little volume. I don't even remember the name of the book, but it was about words. Somehow, I resisted the temptation to make that book my own. But I did leaf through it while I was standing there waiting for the train. One of the points made by the book is that we can get so accustomed to using certain words loosely that we deprive those words of their original meaning. We dilute their original power. One of the words mentioned by the book was awe. How many times have we heard the most mundane things, a meal, a movie, a popular song, described as awesome? Really? Awesome? And how about glory? These days, a sports team is said to win glory by winning a game. Now, I know I should tread lightly here, because I'm in the backyard of the New England Patriots. But seriously, how far all of this is away from the true awe and glory we hear described in today's reading from the Gospel of Luke? We need to look at these words anew, or more to the point, look at them in their original, more powerful meanings, if we are to attempt to enter into this mountaintop scene. Luke tells us that Jesus had taken Peter and James and John, and he went to a mountaintop to pray. And while Jesus was praying on the mountain, the disciples were weighed down with sleep. When the disciples were able to focus their sleepy eyes on what was happening around them, what they experienced certainly qualified as awesome. The appearance of Jesus had dramatically changed. The appearance of his face was altered, and his clothes became a dazzling white. When the Gospel of Matthew describes this scene, it says that Jesus was transfigured before the disciples, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. The Gospel of Mark says Jesus' garments became glistening, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there with Jesus, the disciples saw Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with Jesus. Luke is the only gospel that tells us what Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were talking about. Luke says they were talking about Jesus' departure, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. What Luke means, of course, is that they were talking about Jesus' impending death and resurrection. The disciples, in their sleepy state, probably heard this conversation. And Luke tells us that the disciples saw Jesus' glory. Biblical accounts of human encounters with God often describe bright light as being a manifestation of God, a manifestation of God's glory. So also here, as the disciples were beginning to perceive this glory as they saw the bright light and the change in Jesus' countenance, there was yet a further manifestation. A cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered into the cloud. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." How could the disciples' reaction to this have been anything other than awe? The Gospel of Matthew makes that explicit. Matthew says, "When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe." Now, perhaps these three disciples are beginning to understand for the first time what Jesus had been trying to show them and tell them. Just 8 days before this, Luke tells us, Jesus had told the disciples that he would have to undergo great suffering, be killed, and be raised on the third day. I don't think the disciples understood that conversation. But now the voice from the cloud has told them who Jesus is. And that voice has told them to listen to Jesus. Even then, I'm not sure they completely understood. But later, after all that was to be happened, they would remember this event and understand its significance. How do we really understand this event? How can it be adequately portrayed? Words seem hardly enough. Many artists through the ages have tried to portray it visually. Perhaps the most famous such portrayal is that of Raphael. A copy of Raphael's painting hangs in the back of the nave over there. It's also pictured on the front of your service leaflet. But we could argue that Raphael gets it wrong because he makes it appear as if Jesus and Moses and Elijah are suspended, floating in the cloud. The Gospels don't say that. Jesus was still on earth, still engaged in his ministry, still trying to get his disciples to understand who he was and what he meant, still marching faithfully toward the suffering and death he had tried to make the disciples understand. It was hard for the disciples to take this in. It's hard for us to take it in. We can read about this transcendent experience. We can look at Raphael's painting, and we probably still scratch our heads in bewilderment. The disciples were bewildered too. How could they not be? Look at Peter's response, delivered just before the cloud overshadowed them. And the voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Peter blurted out, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us build three booths. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Luke tells us Peter didn't know what he said. And it would be easy to dismiss Peter's statement, much as Luke did. Here's Peter again, running his mouth before he puts his brain in gear. But that misses the point. Peter's reaction was intensely human. He wanted to preserve and extend the moment. Yet, Peter's reaction shows he still didn't get the point that Jesus was God come to share in humanity, that all of humanity should listen to Jesus. Maybe Peter got it when the voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." I said earlier that Raphael's Transfiguration painting got it wrong, because Raphael makes it appear as if Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are suspended in the cloud. But in spite of that, maybe Raphael got it mostly right. He showed Jesus suspended between heaven and earth. Maybe Raphael was doing the very best job a human can do to portray the meaning of the Transfiguration, the meaning of the words from the cloud. Jesus, whom the disciples knew as one who shared their human life, was also divine. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. A message for those who would be disciples of Jesus then and throughout the ages. Glorious and awesome may be the best words we can find for that, but they are inadequate. Amen.